Skull and Everett present This Week in Horror.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Everett.
I'm Sickle, and we are Sickle and Everett. We're the Unhallowed Reviewers. We unfortunately missed last week in This Week in Horror, but, you know, so even the undead have obligations with their SOs. It happens. We're back on it this week. We're going to kick it off doing what we weren't able to do last week, which is kind of talking a little bit of romance and horror, and just briefly bringing up some of our favorite movies in that little area of our favorite genre.
Yeah, so like ones I thought of were The Fly. It has a little bit of romance in it, but it's also got Cronenberg stuff, which is pretty fun. Odd Thomas, I thought, was a pretty cool movie, and that has a pretty interesting like love story arc and pretty really healthy relationship between the two main characters, which is cool. Crimson Peak was one of those kind of like older style love stories, kind of with ghosts and crazy people, so that was kind of fun. One I just thought of that wasn't too bad is Warm Bodies. That was a pretty fun movie. With the zombies and people falling in love and blah blah blah, and I mean the love story kind of made that one a little sappy, but it was all right. And the final one is called Valentine. It was a movie from like 2001, and it was kind of like Urban Legend meets just the Valentine's Day kind of thing. So I don't know, it was kind of fun for me. So those are the ones I thought of.
Yeah, and I haven't been able to see Warm Bodies yet. I kind of want to because. I like the dark comedy type stuff, and it looks like there's some of that in there. Yeah, that's one I've always wanted to catch, but I've never been able to track it down. Mm-hmm. The Crimson Peak, that was it, was like such a, like, it's like that old school, like, Victorian age horror, gothic horror.
Yeah.
And it has that, which is not famous, but, like, it commonly had romantic themes placed in them, like the older stuff from, like, the 1950s. It had a lot of that in it, and I thought Crimson Peak was a really good modern homage to that time in horror. I thought it was a really good... a really good example of like what horror was like back then for a lot of the time, and kind of a, what was that show called, Dark Shadows or something?
I think
almost
so.
Almost a little bit of that to it. Mm-hmm. But I thought Guillermo del Toro did a great job with that movie.
Yeah, it was good.
Mine were I had a much smaller list, but they're some of my favorite movies, especially in that particular little tiny corner of horror. I had Let the Right One In, which is really disturbing from its romantic angle when you think about it, because it's like two children, but also one of the children is not a child, really. It's, you know, hundreds of years old, and yeah. So that's kind of freaky when you think about it. But I loved the, aspects of like pedophilia aside, I thought that was so interesting tackling like how does a vampire carry relationships, and like so you've got this like at first she's you can see that she has this relationship with this old man, and then she's, you know, growing this relationship with this boy, and you realize that old man was a boy at one point, and like so she's like had to move on because this guy's too old, like he's gonna die soon, and
that happens in Let the Right One In.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, you haven't seen it. No, it's a good movie. Like, the original you should watch. It's got some great cinematography in it. It's really well done. But go in knowing that, like, it's not crazy action-packed or super scary. It doesn't really have any scary moments in it, but the horror is really well represented in the in-between the social and relationship aspects of the film. Perhaps the most pure romance related to horror that I've ever seen is Spring, and I forgot the gentlemen's names, but the two directors that brought us The Endless, what was the one before that?
It was
it starts with an R, doesn't it?
Resolution.
What?
Resolution.
Resolution. That's right. Yes. Yeah.
Justin Benson and Aaron Moorhead.
Yes, those guys. They're the ones that brought Spring. If you've seen their other stuff, Endless Resolution, you'll feel like their touch on the film in Spring. Like, you're gonna feel that. You're gonna know it was them. It's got, you know, a few moments of like levity in their like their really dry humor delivery, which is awesome. It's got a really cool aspect. Like, the general plot is that this guy goes to you know, I can't remember, I think he goes to Greece, maybe Italy, and he starts to fall in love with this girl, and the girl turns out to be a shapeshifter of sorts that, like, has to feed and stuff, and so it's, like, a really, I don't know, it's a really good movie, and I think it's definitely worth watching, especially with your SO, if they can dig that kind of thing.
Yeah.
The last one for me is The Loved Ones, which, if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. I think it's a great movie. It's an Australian movie. It takes place at, like, you know, their equivalent to prom. I think they call it something else. I don't remember what it is. And this guy gets kidnapped and, like, taken to this psychotic fellow student's house and is, like, forced to participate in her, like, terribly sadistic prom and, like, in her own house. And, like, it's about him trying to survive. And it's brutally, like, dark, dark black humor. Like, it's legit. But it's, I don't know, I love that movie. I recommend it to pretty much anybody that can handle pretty hardcore horror stuff. It's good stuff.
Cool. It looks pretty interesting.
No, it's really good. It's really well done. And it like, makes you laugh in between the moments of just pure hell that this poor guy goes through.
What I'm seeing online, I don't want the guy to die, so I'm not sure if I want to watch it, because I'm like, not convinced he doesn't die at the end. But anyway, one more I thought of while we were talking was The Dark kind of has like a love aspect story to it, you know?
Yes, that was one of the ones I missed, I believe, right, at Telluride?
Yeah, I missed it too, but we covered it pretty heartily with our other colleague that went and saw it, and he generally hates love stories in movies, so that's why I know it had a love story that was pretty decent, because he hated it so much. But yeah, I thought that was kind of an interesting juxtaposition, just like Warm Bodies, of like, you know, usually we pit zombies and ghouls against humans, but in these movies they're kind of like putting them side by side and saying, hey, what would happen if, like, you know, they fell in love instead of eating each other?
Yeah, monsters need love too.
Yeah, it's truth. It's the truth. So, let's easily and quickly segue to something completely different. So, I got really, really excited this week when I saw the Twilight Zone trailer, reboot trailer. So, I got excited during the gigantic sports event that people have up on Earth called the Super Bowl. When they did a kind of, like, faux trailer for the Twilight Zone. Did you see that? Cool.
The faux trailer. Yes, I saw a couple of I saw that going on. Yeah.
And then, like, they finally released an actual trailer for it, and I gotta say, so like, there's three things. I think I'm really excited for it because it's another episodic horror thing, and I'm a really big fan. If you haven't been able to tell already, I am excited that Jordan Peele is doing more more horror directing. That's not just movies every once in a while. And I'm excited for the cast of it, because it looks like there's a ton of crazy people in the cast. And I kind of wanted to jump into that, because one of the times we talked about people including, like, comedy actors in horror movies, just as, like, the kind of random one-off guy that, like, is funny for a little bit, then dies. You know? Like Danny McBride in Covenant, and so on and so forth. Like, it's been happening, like, Ryan Reynolds in Life, all this stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But this one is, like, instead of just having, like, comedy actors be the, like, comedy relief, this has, like, a bunch of comedy actors in the trailer that are actually doing serious stuff, like, Kumail Nanjiani, I can never remember his name, Adam Scott.
Kumail Nanjiani.
Nanjiani. Yes. And Adam Scott, and there's just a bunch of them. Like, Tracy Morgan's in there. And so it's kind of cool to see, like, all of these, like, comedic actors get a shot at, like, a potentially cool horror show.
Yeah, I love what Jordan Peele's doing to the industry. I think it's awesome that Unlike other times where we've talked about like the evolution of a lot of directors, where they've had their start in horror and then they, you know, they quote unquote grew up into like, you know, the epics and the dramas and stuff, like Spielberg and Ridley Cameron, Scott, James Cameron, guys like that. They more power to them. But like, I love that Jordan Peele is just like embracing his place in horror, and he's like, he's essentially saying with his choices and with his work, like, hey, this genre offers so much to like juxtapose culture and society of like what we're dealing with right now. And he's just taking, I just love what he's doing, that he's just sticking around and he's giving horror everything that it deserves.
And that's kind of the nice part with an episodic show too, is even though they do film the seasons all at once, they have the potential to be more reactive, and if they do want to comment more on certain things, they can. It's kind of like, you know, we see things like Black Mirror doing, you know, social commentary and a bunch of other shows that I don't really remember off the top of my head, because they weren't, I think there was like 404, there's another, Dimension 404 was one of them. But yeah, like, I don't know, I mean, again, if you couldn't tell, I'm a huge fan of episodic horror, so.
Yeah, I think Outer Limits was one of my favorites, the remade show from like the late 90s, I think it was, mm-hmm. kind of around then. I loved that show, and yeah, episodic Black Mirror is great. It's a great new one that's come out recently, and I'm kind of expecting the Twilight Zone remake here to be similar to that, where we get that good just critique metaphorically of like what we're dealing with today, but without the limitation of like it has to be technology related, because you know that's Black Mirror's twist, which is great. It should stick with that, but Twilight Zone thankfully doesn't have that, so he can kind of go wherever he wants. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it as well.
Yeah, and hopefully it doesn't get canceled so soon after it starts, like freaking Channel Zero.
Like every horror, good horror show that's come out, not called Walking Dead.
Unlike The Haunting of Hill House, though, which actually just got renewed for a second season.
Oh, that's so good.
Do you like that segue there?
Oh, that was great.
No, there's not really segue, everybody. I just really was happy that I saw that news article.
It's
so,
just a show.
Mike Flanagan does great horror movies, and it's so amazing that he gets to keep working with Netflix to do Haunting of Hill House, because it's such a good show.
I've got your segue right here. Just like you're excited for Twilight Zone, I'm really excited for the animated alien show that's coming out.
Yeah.
That's R-rated. That looks, I think it said it's going to be like 7 or 8 episodes. And Fox, you know, I know they've got their whole deal with Disney. They're working out. But Fox owns the rights to Alien. I haven't seen anything specified about like what channel or streaming service it's going to be released on. But I would assume it would be something that has a deal with Fox right now. I would assume it's not going to be Disney's service. It's going to be something else. But I don't know. I'm excited to look out for that. It's a medium I haven't seen Alien reach out to very much at all, if ever. They've done comics before. It looks like they're going to keep that story going. Where, like, I think they're focusing around Amanda Ripley from the Alien Isolation game.
Yeah.
So that's going to be really interesting. I'm looking forward to it. I hope it's awesome.
I'm going to be happy with those as long as they kind of stick with the... less of the prequel... I'm going to call them prequels. Less of the prequel stuff and more of the alien stuff, right? Because I just didn't...
Yeah.
I just don't really like the new stuff as much as I like the old stuff. I'm not saying I don't like it. I'm just saying between the two... relative to themselves, I don't like the new stuff as much as I like the old stuff. That's...
Yeah, I just came to this realization just right now, but I think it's actually pretty accurate. I think it's, for me, it's very similar to, like, Star Wars and the prequels. Like, the original Star Wars is just like, the standard, it's legendary, everything that's in that genre is based around that success, critically and commercially. Like, you know, that's what Star Wars did to sci-fi, that's what Alien did to horror, mm-hmm. and sci-fi. And like, when they try to keep that, to capture that magic and go back and tell more of the story, they aren't awful. Now, some people might argue that's not true, but they're generally, like, it, you know, and that, I guess that's the biggest thing, right? It's very divided. Nobody, but, like, everybody, almost everybody can agree they're nowhere near as good as the originals. And I feel that way a lot about those Alien prequels. Like, the Alien movies are just amazing. I love them, the originals. And the prequels, I want to so bad. But I feel like so much of the reason that I appreciate them and that I'm entertained by them is because I just so deeply want to be. And I know that objectively, they're just not that good.
Yeah, I have probably like 20,000 examples of that exact same thing. But I mean, I think one of the things maybe you're kind of hitting on this is it's cool to see the prequels add a bunch more building points for story. Just like the Star Wars ones, like Clone Wars is really cool. Stuff that happened post the third Star Wars movie, like Star Wars Rebels and all this stuff is kind of fun, and that stuff couldn't have existed without the prequels. But like, it's not the same experience, right? So it's not. Yeah. I personally don't think it's bad. It's just different. So like, yeah, I mean, I agree. But that's what I'm saying. I'm hoping the show goes more in the direction of the like the old movies, and it sounds like that if they do that with Isolation, it'll be very similar. So, you know, that'll be cool.
Yeah, yeah, I think it definitely has potential to be some good stuff. I don't know what else you've got on your docket, but I was thinking of tackling some review stuff.
I want to talk about Odin real quick, because there's a lot of cool things that happen around Odin, because recently Happy Death Day to You came out, which I think is getting mixed reviews, but I don't care what people think, because I'm really excited they made a second one, because that franchise was one of like my sleeper hits from the year it came out. I thought it was fantastic. Happy Death Day was the best, it would have been on my top 10 if had I not been an idiot and participated in the top 10 that year. But Odin is a graphic novel that was written by Scott Lobel, and who's the director, and he, I think he wrote it, maybe he didn't write it, but he's turning this one into a movie, and Odin, as described by the author, which is Lobel it looks like, is a revenge thriller in the vein of John Wick, if it was Wick who was murdered, leaving the dog to seek vengeance on the killers. So it sounds like a Cujo movie, where Cujo's, like, smart enough to, like, pick who he's killing and how he's going to kill him. I'm just really excited to see how it goes. I don't want to see a dog die, though, so.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how that goes, too. Like, I don't know what to expect, like, if he's going to seem like a very, like, realistic dog that's just cognizant of my owner was killed by this group of people, and I'm going to, you know, kill them the way a dog does, or if they're somehow going to make it some serious take on him, like, you know, jumping over a guy's head and, like, breaking his neck with his jaw. I don't know. I don't know how, like, how far it's going to take it.
Well, you can read the graphic novel.
John Wick takes it pretty far. Yeah, I guess I could just do that. But, yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it, too. I think it sounds like a fun idea.
I at least want to see, like, a trailer before I, you know, completely write it off. I just think it sounds like an interesting premise.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's totally worth it. It may be like one of those things, like, I don't know why, but the first thing that popped into my head is like He Never Died, like that style of like indie dark comedy, like that kind of thing.
That's a good point. That's a good one to compare it to, because that's kind of its own little niche of indie film, black comedy, horror, not really
that,
horror.
Like, yeah. Yeah, like, never took itself too seriously, but still, like, had it's like, yeah, but I'm still a movie, I still have a story to tell, and, yeah, I think it has potential, definitely.
Alright, so let's move on to talking about some stuff that you watched. I want to save our top thing that we've both kind of seen, that I'm still finishing, which would be Umbrella Academy, till the end, but let's talk about some other stuff until then.
Sure. So, one thing I caught, like, I think that Reddit is a great resource for short horror films.
Interesting. I've never thought to look on Reddit.
Yes, it's just r short horror, I believe, r/short horror. And it's got a pretty good resource. Like, people post there pretty frequently. You do have to... Now, I think that it's great to support filmmakers. Horror is a great way to... to enter into that, into filmmaking and developing your cinematography skills and everything. So I think it's great to support those people that are just out there with a passion for filmmaking that are just making these things in their basement. But go into it knowing that you're going to be weeding through 10 or so of those that somebody went and bought a GoPro and filmed some guy chasing him down the stairs. And then gems like the one that I saw the other day, which is called Casting Couch. And think the movie Starry Eyes. That movie, if you haven't seen it, Starry Eyes is about a woman that's trying to make it big in Hollywood. And, she's slowly lost to the machine in a very dark way. And it does a really good job of, being a metaphor for, what Hollywood does to people, particularly women. And Casting Couch does the same thing. It takes that overused urban legend of, the casting couch thing that's, regularly represented in porn. And it takes that, and it goes based off of, the initial, where that urban legend came from, which is, that women were exploited when they went to go and cast for an actual film. And so it the whole thing makes fun of that and does a really good job of using that horror comedy feel where, they're actually, the directors and everything, the producers that are sitting in and checking these casted people are actually sacrificing them to this monster couch. And it's just, it's pretty awesome. And I really enjoyed it, and I recommend it. And, now that you make me think of it, Ifrit, it's a really good idea to go check that out. Just go mess around. If you got some time, go mess around on Our Short Horror for a little bit.
I already got on it. As soon as you said that exists, I went on and I actually found Casting Couch, and it's queued up. And I was going to try to watch it while you were talking about it, but it turns out that watching a short and trying to do a podcast at the same time is incredibly difficult.
Oh, yes.
So if you could talk for about 10 minutes straight without me, I will be back in 10 minutes and 27 seconds. No.
Oh boy, here we go. Okay.
And scene. that's, yeah, I'm excited for that. I love it when we find those kinds of resources like Our Short Horror and things like that to kind of throw at people and be like, hey, you want some good horror? Go here.
Yeah. I think it's a pretty great resource. It's better, honestly, I think that subreddit is better than the Our Horror subreddit, which is full of a lot of, oh man, I just caught this movie from 10 years ago and finally got to see it and it's amazing. What do you guys think? And then us hardcore horror fans are always rolling our eyes because we're like, yeah, I saw that 10 years ago. And, it's, I don't know, I get tired of
that. Yeah, that definitely
really
happens in all facets of hobbyism.
It's true. And I'm being pretentious.
No,
by,
I think it's annoying too.
My eyes at that
point. If you're gonna write articles or post things, don't be like me and just superficially like the topic. You should actually do some research, not be a scrub. But
I do have to come at you a little bit, Ifrit, with this one. A couple weeks ago you were talking about Prodigy. The Prodigy.
Didn't we talk about this last week? Did we not talk about this last week?
We
didn't have a podcast last week, so how
no.
that happened.
Yeah.
I want to repeat before
movie.
You say this.
Okay.
I had not seen the movie, and I had read through the script, and I thought that the twist sounded like it could be cool because of the nature of it, and I think you're just going to get on my case for calling it a twist.
Yes, I am. It's not, and that's not technically your fault because I don't know what description you read. Maybe the description that you read implied that this quote-unquote twist happens further on in the movie, and so it feels more like, oh man, did not see that coming kind of a thing, but it is not that case. In The Prodigy, it's basically...
Before you do that, I think the articles that I was reading were saying there's some that's called the ending a twist ending, and other ones said that it twisted the genre, so maybe that's where I got caught up in that twist thing. But anyway,
yes,
I'll let it go. Go ahead.
Okay, no worries. Obviously I'm exaggerating for dramatic effect for our podcast.
Well, it's dramatically hurting my feelings, so.
you'll be fine. Just rub some sulfur on it. You'll be great.
Oh, cool.
I just, I thought that, like, it is a plot development. The key twist to it is a plot development that makes it unique in the possession genre. Like, so, it is that. And I love it when movies do that. Like, so, like, Event Horizon, for example, is basically just a unique take on The Haunted House, right? And, like, so I love it when movies do that. It doesn't always work, but I always appreciate it and I admire it when they try. And this movie does do that. But it is a very methodical, expected, you're seeing it coming, plot development. That you realize that, like, you are told in person by characters, word for word, less than halfway through the movie, and nothing changes. Like, there's never, like, you're expecting it to be like, okay, well, I already know about this, so this must be a, you know, just a...
Like a misdirect?
A misdirect, exactly, thank you. Couldn't think of the word. Yeah, you think it's a misdirect, and then so then by the end you're like, oh, okay, so I guess it wasn't a misdirect. And then, like, it gives you this tiny itty-bitty twist at the end that really has absolutely no effect on the movie at all, and, like, if you think about it, you're like, well, yeah, I kind of guessed that already, like,
yeah,
just by watching the movie. So, like, I was disappointed in the sense that I was hoping that it would be a, like, or that it was going to give me something new, in the cinematography, in the directing, in the way that it built up tension, but it really only had, like, really one good scene that I can recall that I thought was really well done, which is unfortunate because Nicholas McCarthy was the director, and I love his other stuff.
What else has he done?
Oh.
Yeah, talking a big game there, aren't you?
I know. Nicholas McCarthy is I just put my foot in my mouth.
It doesn't matter. Just keep going. It didn't happen. The question didn't happen.
The Pact and At the Devil's Door.
That's right. Okay, cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, I just was expecting more, and, like, this was kind of his first foray into, like, mainstream horror, and just, like, What's-His-Face, I think that's what messed me up is because I, in my review for The Prodigy, I compared Nicholas McCarthy to the guy that directed The Hallow when he came out and he did The Nun. It was kind of the same level of disappointment for me. Like, I really liked, it's Corin something, the director's name for that, and he, like, I really love The Hollow, that's one of my favorite movies, so I was really looking forward to The Nun, like, him doing a mainstream horror piece, but then it just ended up feeling more like a mainstream horror piece, and it didn't feel like it had him in it, and even more so I felt that way about Nicholas McCarthy, like, his touch was just not on The Prodigy. Like, if I didn't know that he had directed it, I would have never guessed it was him.
Oh, that kind of sucks.
Whereas, like, At the Devil's Door... we're at The Devil's Door, I could have not known that it was him, and I could have been like, I think this was done by the guy that did The Pact. Like, because it's, like, it just has his feel to it, and so it just ended up being a little bit of a disappointment to me.
Yeah, can't win them all, right?
Nope.
All right, let's spend the last 2 minutes talking about Umbrella Academy. I'm 7 Kay. Episodes through 10 or something like that. Pretty sweet so far. I dig what's happening. There's a lot of questions I have, but I'm really excited to kind of see where it ends. I've kind of been looking through the comic summaries as I've been watching it, and it seems like they've got a pretty, like, decent departure from the source material, which is kind of cool, because it gives those people a different experience, but I also can see how that can be kind of, instigate feelings in people who really like the comics, but I think it's cool so far, and it's dark, and it's kind of like a mix between, Hellboy and, I don't know, like, Avengers, I guess, is a bad comparison, but...
The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
I was thinking that, too, but I feel like Hellboy is a little bit better of a comparison just because some of the other weird stuff that happens. I don't know.
Yeah. I agree. I'm really, I've been able to finish it, so I'm a little bit ahead of Ifrit, so we're not going to talk spoilers or anything. But yeah, I've been really enjoying it as well. Really did enjoy it as well. I loved the balance of, like, really intense drama with, like, the dark comedy of, like, their music choices during really violent
battles. Oh my god, the music
battles.
Is so amazing. Like,
and yeah, and like the I will say that, like, there is one character in it that's He talks with the dead, and that's where a lot of, like, this show is, in general, not very horror-centric.
What's the character's name again?
Klaus.
Klaus, that's right.
And even though Klaus also is not very horror-oriented, his power has a very morbid side to it. He can speak with the dead. And so there's a lot to his character, and he is primarily a lot of the levity and comedic relief of the show, mm-hmm. Which also comes with a little bit of a somberness to it, in the sense that you're like, well, he's doing all of this because he's essentially Deadpool, where his life is miserable and he's in pain all the time. So he jokes around and is on drugs, so yeah. He can balance that out.
Levity
and
is
so
a coping mechanism, definitely.
Exactly, and it works really well. It balances really well with the other characters, and but it is, yeah, the show's a lot of fun, and you should definitely check it out. Give it a good go.
I agree. I mean, Netflix has just been on fire with stuff lately, so I mean, at this point, I'm convinced that you can watch almost any Netflix show and find something to like about it.
Yep. So. Yeah, I agree. I had some more stuff queued up, but we'll just save that for next week.
Huzzah.
And see if it deserves to make it to the next week.
the most rigorous filter.
Yes.
Can you remember it for a week?
It's true.
Alright, well, thanks for listening, everybody. You know, like, comment, subscribe, tell us what you like and don't like. And we'll see you next time.
Alright.
Bye.
Bye.